Hello, my name is Sarah Ann Wilkinson.
And I'm Sarah Kelly Reed. We're the co-founders of The Art of Self-Worth.
And you've joined us for our podcast where we explore our day-to-day journey with worthiness.
Oh my gosh, so excited because we have one of my favorite people in the world here today, Jen Dean, who there's so much I love about her. But one of the things that Jen helped me with personally was the first time I ever did a photo shoot with her. She showed me a picture and said, "Look how gorgeous you are." And I said, "Oh, I hate that photo. Like, I hate it." And she asked me very nicely, "What do you hate?" And I pointed to her and we had a little discussion and she moved me ever so slightly. And then she took a photo and it was like the most me photo I've ever seen in my life. And I felt beautiful and amazing and seen and light. And that gift will always be so special in my heart. And so we're starting this conversation with her to talk about photography as part of that healing process, because it really can lead to transformation. It can be really scary in some ways, but it can be really transformational and powerful. And when we come back into our bodies and seeing, we like to call it that coming home to yourself. And so, Jen, we want to first hear from you about, when did you first experience coming home to yourself and the power of photography with women?
Well, thank you for the fabulous introduction. You know, we may just stay on this question the entire time, because when I thought about what I wanted to tell you, it led me to like a rabbit hole of why. So the first part of the answer is that when I was a teenager, I began my photography journey and I had seen some old Hollywood photos and I wanted to duplicate that, replicate them. So I went to home. I had my stepdad take me to Home Depot and we got a clamp light. And I remember I had this like suede looking brown bedspread that we hung up in this extra room and I hung up the light. And I, of course, back then it was film because I'm really old. And we took black and white film photos of me and my two girlfriends. And when I got those images back, I was blown away. I had been playing with photography, but I hadn't done anything specifically portrait wise. And all of a sudden I saw myself differently. I was like, ooh. Just with light, I created what looks like kind of like a movie star portrait. And I saw myself as really pretty for the first time. And that was a big deal to me because as a teenager, my two girlfriends were traditionally, culturally, what everyone thought was gorgeous. And it was kind of a big deal. They were tall and thin, dark hair, giant brown eyes, perfect skin. I was the opposite of that. I was short and curvy and had crazy hair. And just, you know, I remember people being like, "Oh, yeah, you're so-and-so's friend." Like everybody knew who they were. And so, you know, while it's easy for me to look back and say, you know, don't take on the BS, it's hard to live in that. And so as a teenager, of course, how I looked really mattered. And the ability to see myself outside of that as this creation that I made of like, ooh, that's me with a different light and a different angle was striking. And that's the first time that had happened. But I think the larger context of the conversation is that I like to talk about why it matters, because I think that there's this movement that is very important that says how we look doesn't matter. It's irrelevant to our lives. Just don't care. And while I appreciate that sentiment, and there's all kinds of stuff going around social media, and I remember when I first saw it, I was like, yeah, yeah, that. And then I was really uncomfortable and I couldn't figure out why. And I sat with it for a long time and I kept watching these videos from a couple specific people. And I realized that it's a false narrative that doesn't work for some of us. I think that there are those of us out there that can really get behind that, but there's a lot of women that couldn't get behind it. And I figured out for myself, and for a lot of other women why that is. And I've had a lot of conversations around it. And throughout history, women have adorned themselves. We've covered ourselves in jewelry and eyeliner and tattoos and beautiful clothing. And that's just part of what we do as women. It's in our DNA. We love to adorn and look good and feel good. And that becomes part of how we define ourselves, kind of like it or not. So for those of us that are in that mindset and are struggling with that, how we feel about ourselves matters because it gives us a foundation of confidence. And if we can make peace with that in some way, shape, or form, it absolutely changes the way we move in the world.
That is beautiful, Jen. First of all, I just got to go back to Sarah's intro. I remember seeing her photos that you took for the first time and just the glow that you were able, like as her friend, it was so true. Like I was able to see her true self in the photo as well. So just to kind of add on to that, thank you for being able to capture the beauty of people. I think it's such a gift. Let's just say that there's a lot of work for a lot of us to, you know, feel comfortable, first of all, just being in front of the camera, and then to be vulnerable enough to really have that conversation that Sarah had with you, to be like, I don't feel comfortable, and to be able to voice that. How do you help people to get to that place of ease when you're doing a photo shoot with them?
So there's a lot of work that goes in ahead of time. So usually the first step is we get on a phone call that can last quite a while. And I really ask women to tell me their story. Why are they here? You know, what motivated them to decide to book a session in the first place? And through that conversation, then I'm getting to a lot of the details of their motivation, their story, where they're coming from. And that's the first step. I also usually, if it's appropriate and they're interested in part of the conversation, will share my own story. I think that having women know that you have gone through something similar or that you're still going through it, which I think we all are, is also really comforting. I can't tell you how many women have said, no, you don't understand. I really don't like to have my portrait taken. Like they're the only ones. It's really interesting to me. And so, you know, I feel like that's about 90% of the women I work with. Once in a while, I have somebody who come in who's either done some modeling or really confident in their body. And that's great. I love that as well. But yeah, the majority of us all feel the same. So it starts with that foundational conversation of really just getting to know each other. I want people to hear my voice. I've had people try to book me without a phone call. And I'm like, no way. I want you to see me, hear me. I want us to get to know each other because that's where safety and trust comes in the first place. That's the foundation. And then there's little steps all along the way. There's instructions I give, how to prepare for the session, what to bring, how can I help you? There's additional emails and phone calls and all that. And then, you know, during the session itself, we play music that you like. We do a lot of talking. I pose you, I move you into the right light, you know, that kind of thing that I know is going to be moody or beautiful or fun. We also talk about not taking ourselves so seriously. There's a lot of laughing that happens. I think that the intimidation is intensified when our bodies are like this. So helping somebody sometimes even just move, sometimes I'll have somebody dance in the studio. Even if I'm not taking pictures of them, I'll have them move around. And the reason that my sessions are an hour to an hour and a half at least is also to help people relax. After a certain point, I think that people sort of give up. You can only stay tense for so long for the most part. So there's all these different pieces along the way that I use. And I think they all help inch people toward being a little more comfortable.
I love that. And it sounds like what I heard throughout that answer is time. It takes time to create that. Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. And I've heard other photographers, you know, I definitely do trainings and mentoring and things like that. And there was somebody who was talking about her back-to-back sessions every day, and she does the same photos. So she has a list of images that she does. And I just can't do that. That's not how I work. And I think that that's what sets my work apart, is that I don't do more than one session a day. I'm doing something different and unique a lot of the time. And I'm just working with helping somebody feel connected in that moment in their body so that I can help them relax.
I love that. And I think, you know, part of what you describe is that what I think you're so good at is helping people be seen for their insides too, like hearing the story, connecting on a level of like me too, and community and pieces that we always talk about in here are being so important, like to feel comfortable and safe with someone and having them really hear you can transform what happens on the outside sometimes. And yet we all have that inner critic, right? Like, so that maybe we said too much, or now I don't like this photo, or as you said, 90% of your clients are like, I am not comfortable in photos. So do you ever come across where someone really can't see their beauty and you help them to overcome that inner critic and see how beautiful they are?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I think that the inner critic is usually always with us, or most of us. And so it's a baby step. And, you know, we can slide back. I recently did a talk about body positivity. And one of the things that I pointed out is that, you know, my body has changed in the last couple of years. I've gained weight. It's the hormones have changed. I look different. I look older. And sometimes it's just really hard for people. You know, I understand why people use a headshot from, you know, 15 years ago, because nobody likes the idea of, you know, getting older, because our culture has told us that that's unattractive and we're now irrelevant. And so there's all these layers around, oh my gosh, I'm not enough, pretty enough, thin enough, tall enough, whatever enough. And so while those things are often with us, I also think that anybody can look like they're in a magazine. And I'm not talking about retouching. I'm very careful. And I talk to my clients about that ahead of time as well. I'm not interested. I won't help you. I won't make your body skinnier. I won't make you look a different weight. And I don't over retouch. I will do like a little acne, things like that. Anyone can look like they're in a magazine, because it really is about lighting and posing and being comfortable and being made to feel like you're in the spotlight. You're special. So that's the kind of session we do, where you get hair and makeup, you get to feel fancy, and you don't have to have your hair and makeup done, you can, but a lot of that is about the pampering and the moment and the experience of enjoying it and having fun influences how you feel about your images. Absolutely. So I actually had an experience years ago where somebody, I've had my portrait taken on a regular basis. I think it's really important for me to walk my own talk. And I went in and the person was a master at lighting and I wanted to learn from them. And they literally didn't speak to me. They would pose me and do the lighting and then they would just take photos. And I remember looking at the photos once and I put them away and I've never looked at them again. I hated them so much because there was no connection. I looked like a deer in headlights. So I think the experience of the entire occasion does influence how you feel about the photos. And then every once in a while, you know, I think I do have somebody that's a little critical, but we sit together after the session. We go over the images together. We talk about them. And most of the time, I would say, again, the majority of my clients are shocked at how much they like their images, which is my favorite part. I remember one girl who, you know, by cultural standards for you and I to look at her, we wouldn't have noticed, but she thought she had big arms and she wanted me to make them thinner. And I said, I'm not going to do that. And here's why. And so we had this whole long conversation about when she was older, as an 80-year-old, she would look at those arms and think, wow, those arms are really beautiful. And years after the session, she reached out to me and she thanked me. And she said, I already think my arms are beautiful now. Progress.
Well, that's beautiful. I, as usual, am tearing up, as we do anytime we have an interview. Wow. One of the things that I love about all of your work, and you do so many different styles, you do Badeau, you do what you call the radiance shots, which, ooh, oh my gosh, headshots, even just like your like regular old headshots, like people shine when they are in front of the camera with you behind it. So I would love to hear, like we've been touching on it, but just like to hit the hammer on the nail. How do you use photography to help women embrace and communicate their worth?
I think it's, like I said, it's something I started as a teenager. So I've been doing this for so long now. And really, I think my gift is connecting with people and getting to know them and helping them feel safe. I know that it also has to do with the photography and what I capture with the light and my settings and things like that. But I think the larger piece of it is my ability to help people feel safe. And I think that that's from the work that I've done on myself as well. So I'm always working on that stuff alongside and right in front of my clients. So I'm two steps ahead of everyone else going, oh my God, I turned 50. I am not comfortable in my body the way I used to be. It's different now and it feels different and I'm struggling. And so I forced myself to do a boudoir session and I actually was naked for the first time. And that was really intimidating to me. And I had to really step back and look at those images of me in a different body shape than I was used to. I think that every little step we take brings us closer to an acceptance and a self-love. I don't think it comes from just photography. I think it comes from therapy and yoga and walking in the woods and being with your people that you love and your pets. And photography is one piece. And I think it's a really powerful piece. The fear of having your portrait taken is intense for a lot of people. And it's intimidating because it is a permanent marker of who you were at that moment in time. And we do care. We don't want terrible photos of ourselves out there. So it is something that makes us really vulnerable. And people don't like being vulnerable. It's hard. It's scary. So I think that the more that I can help people feel safe, the more they trust me. And I will say, by the time you've gotten to me, you do want to do the session, even if you're still scared. So the majority of my clients are like, I'm excited and also really nervous. I have had headshots clients come in who didn't want the headshot because their company was making them do it. And I've had women cry. It's been intense. I've had to sit down and have like a little session with them, talk them off the cliff. So, but most of the time people are coming to me because they're ready to some degree, even if they're scared. So it's again, it's one piece of a puzzle, but I do think that there is something extremely powerful and potent about seeing yourself.
Totally. So you touched on it. There are bad photos. Like, they exist. And we're in this age of social media where people will just put up photos of us in not our best light, like you have it for us. What is your advice for gracefully navigating terrible photos on social media that make you feel, when you see them, like, okay, I had that session and I felt beautiful, but this is the real me. This person caught the real me and I am not into it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about both. And I mean, we can't have joy without pain. We don't have color without black. We don't have beauty without ugly. And all of us are both and in every capacity and facet of our lives. So yeah, there's photos out there when I see and I'm like, oh, yeah, that was unfortunate. Doesn't make me feel good. Absolutely. And that's how I looked that day. We can't always be completely safe in our feelings of ourselves and feeling like, you know what? I had such a good hair day that day. Thank God I had my portraits taken then. Like, it's just part of being a human in the years of this 21st century that we're living in. We are everywhere, whether we want to see ourselves or not. One of the things that I do enjoy, though, is there are a lot of social media. There's a lot of Instagram feeds of women. And we actually just did a newsletter out of four different ones that we follow. And they are women that are posting real photos of themselves, like not posed, not in special light. One in particular, she's like, yeah, I have ingrown hairs. Welcome to being a human. You know, I think that that is really, really helpful for all of us. I try to do that too. I do, you know, Instagram stories sometimes where I'm not wearing makeup and I'm walking around the neighborhood. And it's like, I don't always look perfect. None of us look perfect. And yeah, we all have cringeworthy images. You know, go delete them if you can, if that makes you feel better. You don't have to have photos out there that you hate. If you can delete them, just delete them. I also think there's real bravery in leaving them there, right? It's like, yeah, sometimes I look rough and sometimes I look fantastic.
And what I love, it kind of goes back to the story you told about the woman with her arms. I sometimes love looking back at the photos that I thought were horrible. And either one, they're now hilarious because they were so bad. I have a lot of those. But also, yes. Sometimes I'm like, how did I think that was a bad photo? I look stunning. Like, sometimes if your friends are saying that it's a good photo and you don't think it's a good photo, just trust them. Let it stay up. Look at it in a couple of years.
That's fabulous advice. That's amazing. Yes, that is such good advice. Please just leave it there. Go look at it later. I ran across photos of myself, film photos of me at the beach in my 20s. And I was like, wow, body, who knew? I didn't.
Yeah, especially of my 20s. I feel the same thing. Like while I was there, I was like, did not feel so beautiful. Look back on it and I'm like,
so this is a note, anyone in your 20s listening to this, keep all the photos, keep them all. But it's also a note for us, because I think that happens every decade. Like you said, it's that hindsight, it's that ability to look back and be like, wow, I wish I had been able to truly see myself as I was in that moment. And if we can transfer that to the now, if we can transfer it to like, okay, arms are one of my things. My arms look a lot bigger in that photo, but like, I'm really beautiful. Like, maybe I can just hold on to like, my body is different than it was in my 20s. And I'm going to be there today.
Well, I also think that my legs are bigger. My stomach is bigger. My arms are bigger. Any of those, whatever's in your head, bigger than what? Bigger than it used to be. But it's only culture that told us that bigger was not okay in the first place. It's a really messed up message. You know, if we had lived a couple hundred years ago, bigger was seen as healthy and gorgeous, and that's what everybody was painting. And, you know, the skinny girls were starving to death, and that wasn't attractive. And it's just all so embedded in our brain that we can't get it out. And, you know, when I had my portraits taken recently, I took a few days and I stepped back and I wrote about it. And I was like, oh, we are all just delicious pieces of art. That's what we are. And if we could see ourselves that way, how would we live differently? And that's what I'm always trying to get to. Like, if you don't have a running dialogue in your head of negativity, God, that frees up a lot of space.
Yeah, so much space. I love that. How you said delicious pieces of art. So we talked a little bit beforehand. Do you have something that folks listening can do right now or later after they listen, just to kind of help them tap into their own worth, their own power, you know, maybe around photography, whatever inspires you?
Absolutely. I actually created a course called Ingenious Alchemy, and it was 7 weeks of homework assignments around seeing yourself and being more in your body before you came into the studio. And so I pull little bits of guidance from that to give to my clients. There's two specific things that I offer. One is one you've probably heard a million times, which is, well, first of all, slow down when you get ready. I don't know about you, but I got things to do. And I take like, you know, 6 minutes to put on mascara and throw on something. And, you know, the mornings when I slow down, I'm like, oh, yes, I could pick out what I'm wearing. And, you know, I just kind of try to slow down in general. And then I, you know, look in the mirror and do that ridiculous thing of saying, you're really beautiful. You're amazing. Kind of wink, kind of smile, kind of whatever, that is super silly. And there's a reason everyone says to do it. You know, if you do that as a regular practice, and even just if you can't bring yourself to say something out loud, say it in your head, but out loud is so much better. And really slowing down and seeing yourself mirrored to yourself. We don't do that. And I think it's just one small practice of saying positive things to yourself as you see yourself that's healing and helpful. The other one is just turning your phone on yourself. Take a selfie, not because you're dressed up, not because anything, and then put it as a screensaver. That's one of the homework assignments I would give people. And it is so uncomfortable. My girls were like, you want me to what? And they're like, what will people say? And I was like, guess you'll have to figure it out. And it was, you know, you pick up your phone, you see yourself. It's, again, maybe not that perfect photo, but it's a reminder of this is who I am in my body. And this is who I'm talking to. This is who I am as I move through the world. And just a step toward getting more comfortable with whoever you are in the world.
Those are amazing. And I can remember the first time I started doing mirror affirmations. I'm like, I've truly hit bottom. Like, this is so embarrassing that I am doing this. Like, but I am like, I'm willing to do anything at this point to not hate myself so much. And yeah. So I wrote all over my mirror. I was like, if anyone ever comes over and sees this, I'm going to be totally mortified. But I did it. And it was powerful. It was really powerful. So yeah. Second that one. And then I'm going to challenge myself to do the selfie screensaver for, I might only make it a day or two, but I'm going to do it.
I might commit to it too, because it made me really uncomfortable. Really uncomfortable.
Like, I do not want to do that at all. So we're going to do it.
I'm so impressed with you both. I've done it. It is weird. But the funny thing is, when I did it in the past, it was weird for me. I was like, and now I do it on a regular basis. And I'm so much more comfortable with it. I'm like, oh, there I am. I'm really happy. And I love that. I will tell you a quick story because this is one of my favorite stories around how we can change our beliefs. And really everything is just a belief. So maybe in my mid-20s, I used to go out dancing all the time, literally just to go dancing because I love dancing. And I remember always putting on makeup and getting ready and struggling with how I looked. I wasn't super confident. And I remember out of nowhere, I just had this epiphany one night. I was going out by myself, which I did sometimes, and I was taking a taxi into town. And I said to myself, what would it be like if I just believed I was really beautiful? I wonder what would happen. I came home that night with like 5 different people's phone numbers. People literally were handing me their, like, slipped me their numbers. And I didn't call anybody. That wasn't the point. But it was so powerful for me. And I remember from that point forward, I was like, you know what? I'm not a supermodel, but I'm also not ugly. And I need to just deal with who I am in my body. And it really changed things for me. My confidence level shifted. And then the next time that happened, I had somebody who was like, oh yeah, you must take self-portraits all the time because you're a photographer. And I was like, no. Absolutely not. That's egotistical. And that was 5 years ago now. And I had to wrap my head around. And then I started looking at self-portraits online and was like, oh, this is so cool. I want to do that. All I had to do was give myself permission. And now I do it on a regular basis. And it's fascinating and it's fun. And I can be a fairy or a bird or whatever I want to be in a self, or me, you know, I can make up whatever I want. It's really freeing. So that, I feel like it ties back into that question of like, when did you come back to yourself? Well, you know, there's iterations of that your whole life. It's a question of what do you believe and how do those beliefs get changed? And then you kind of have to shift them again. You discover going, oh my gosh, a photo of me on my phone makes me really uncomfortable. Well, then maybe I need to open that door.
Jen, we could talk to you all day because this is amazing. And I just have to comment on one more thing. I think that's really important that you just said was, if I take self-portraits, I'm egotistical. And I think that there can be this thought, if I have self-worth, if I think I'm beautiful, if I think well of myself, then I'm being ego-driven. Like, then I'm an asshole. And when it's really the opposite, right? Like, when we think well of ourselves, then we show up in the world in this beautiful way that attracts people and that we are our true essence, and then we use our passions. I think that's just so beautiful how you explained it through photography, though, too.
Oh yeah, because I've actually had people too, you know, I offer products with all of my packages. You don't just get the digital files, because I'm like, I don't want you to stuff these in a drawer somewhere. I want you to walk by them every day and be reminded of who you are. And I've had women for years say, oh, but I would never hang up a photo of myself. And so we kind of unpack that. Why? Who told you that was not okay? And there's a big difference in having a healthy ego and being egotistical. And just because bravado somewhere was repulsive to you doesn't mean that having a healthy ego is a bad idea. Doesn't mean you can't see yourself as beautiful and confident and whole. I think I know that every time I reassess and I become more whole, when I started taking self-portraits, I was like, oh, I'm so creative again. I love this. It like lit me up inside. I was so excited by the possibilities. And all I had been doing is shaming myself into thinking I couldn't do something really freaking fun. So that opened up a door of creativity and I expanded and I became this other version of myself that was artistic. And I don't think that did anything negative for me. So I, obviously, right? Like there's these stories and we have to get behind, is that story true? And what's that story about? And how do we get to the other side of it? And I think photography is just a way of storytelling.
I love what you just said about photographs as stories. And it kind of went back to what you said before about a headshot, a photograph being that permanent marker of that time in life. Do you want to expand on that storytelling aspect a little bit more?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, that the other piece of this is that I started off in documentary photography and that's where my training was. And I loved storytelling. And I was like, I'm going to go work for National Geographic. And, you know, that was, there were reasons why that I didn't end up pursuing that. But what I realized is that every portrait of somebody tells a story. And my goal is always to do that. So that you want to know that person's story. And then I ended up doing a podcast for a while that was storytelling for women. So storytelling has always been really motivating to me. And I think confidence in yourself is a story you want to tell yourself, to believe, to share with others. So like there's all the layers of storytelling are always in there. And I think that any form of art is a form of storytelling. That's what we're using it for. And I think that that is how we connect to one another as a society, sitting around the fire, telling stories, sitting around the fire, creating art. Like those are elements that we've always done and that we continue to do. And I think that it's just so powerful when we lean into this way of being together and seeing one another. I think it is the common denominator through all cultures. And it's like positivity and self-love for everybody. And like, who doesn't want a good, big, long drink of that?
I do. And for anyone that would like to check out Jen's amazing storytelling ability, the Gardenia Project is still up, even though it is not actively doing interviews at the moment. And it was the first time I ever shared my story publicly. And Jen made the safe space for that and helped a lot of women share their stories. So go check it out. She did photography with the storytelling. It was an amazing project. You'll enjoy it.
And just going along with that, Jen, people are going to fall in love with you listening to this episode. How can they stay in touch with you? If they're local to Portland, Maine, can they work with you? If they're not local to Portland, Maine, can they work with you? Tell us the options.
Absolutely. So yeah, Jen Dean Photography. I'm on I'm on a lot of the channels, not all the channels. I can't keep up with all the channels. So there's a channel you can find me. I have a website. I have an Instagram page. I have actually two Instagram. One, we finally separated boudoir and portrait. So it's Jen Dean Boudoir or Jen Dean Portrait because we didn't want to frighten people who were trying to go get headshots and seeing all these naked bodies. But yeah, and I do travel. I've done a lot of that. So yeah, if you're interested in that, let me know. We keep toying with doing some sort of retreat at some point where that's in the works. So yeah, exciting stuff. We're always around.
And we will link to all of your social media channels in the description of the podcast. So folks, follow her on your favorite channels.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do this today. We adore you. And we would love to have you back another time because I could literally talk to you all day long.
It was so such an amazing conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me. I always love chatting in general, but I love speaking with you guys. It was so good to see you even through the computer. I can't wait to come give you hugs very soon.